Everyone in the world has got a podcast. We started one just to make our friends laugh. I often wonder if we're on the right path. Now there's so many, it all seems a bit daft. Got a big neck, get yourself a big scarf. Your podcast stinks, go run yourself a big bath. We put this out just to make our friends laugh. Now everyone in the world has got a podcast.
Ground control to Owlsbury Town. Commencing countdown, engines on 5.
Elsbury.
Put your helmets on 3, and put 5, and your 2, knickers on.
We're dancing 1. In the tweets.
This
welcome
is ground control to Elsbury Town.
Oh, what?
Chad hits the fan.
Oh, sorry, yeah. She's probably...
Welcome to Chad Hits the Fan.
You sexy thing.
The podcast for you.
We like to talk.
We will
a lot
say
of
things that you will like to hear.
Hello,
everybody. Welcome to Chad Hits the Fan, the podcast where we chat until something hits the fan. My name is Benjamin, and to my left is somebody called
Johnny. And as I always say, if someone is copying you, something to ponder on, anyone can find the switch when the light is on.
And to my right is Greg.
I want to know what love is. I want you guys to show me in the studio and at home.
So from the beginning of this podcast, you probably realised we are going to talk about a little bit about David Bowie this week, because we had some very interesting revelations on our local hometown local news Facebook page, which Johnny's going to bring up and find. And also we have got some big Tomia news this week. So for those that don't know anything about Tomia, it's a show we used to do on YouTube, and we got some big news. But first, do we want to talk about anything we've been doing this week? Anything you've seen in the news or anything that's been happening? Johnny?
I think it was a couple of weeks ago I spoke about the time I had two famous people's signatures and I lost them. And I forgot one special one. And this was when I was a bit older. The others were when I was... like a child, and this was when I was at secondary school, and we'd gone on a school trip to London, and it was, I don't know, to go to some museum, and we met Duncan Goodhue, and we were talking to him, and he was like, oh, because we went up and went, oh, you're Duncan Goodhue, blah, 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 and he was going, oh, yeah, that's great, and he goes, does any of you swim? And none of us did, so I said, oh, I do, and he went, oh, excellent, what are you doing? I said, I'm trying out for the county, and he's like, how are you getting on? I said, oh, I haven't got there yet, but can I have your signature? So everyone got his signature. And they were all different, and I found out later on that he's dyslexic.
Duncan Hugood.
So he was just scribbling on a bit of paper.
Yeah, I don't remember. I just remember all the signatures looked different, but I lost that autograph before I'd even got back on the coach.
Well, Johnny,
by accident.
You think you lost that autograph, but right. As it happens, I just have a piece of paper here, and let me pull this out. And if you look on this piece of paper, you will see
that says Dickford Hardpong. Oh, that's him.
Yes, it's one of his scribbles. So anyway, Greg, what have you been doing this week? Okay, cool. So
I had a swim. I swam 40 lengths today at the pool.
Oh, good.
I found out a new routine for the pool, so I don't have to deal with old men's...
What, a washing routine?
Old men's todgers.
A changing routine, not
washing.
Yeah,
yeah, sorry. Yeah. No, yeah. So it's quick, because I was like, oh, I've got to go into the men's... I don't have to change in the men's, but I can go into
can
the family
just say,
bit. Just because I haven't got a family...
I know you hate me interrupting you, but just for people that listen, if no one's ever heard this podcast before, you said... So I don't have to deal with men's todgers. Can you just emphasise why,
todgers,
why you're saying
that?
He saw one in the shower.
This is someone's first episode.
A couple of episodes back, I said about one of the annoying things about having to, when you're using a public swimming pool, is having to get changed with other men. And there's sometimes there's men, a lot of the time old men, like to spend a lot of time in the changing room naked for, you know, too long a time, for an unnecessary amount of time. Well, it appears to be unnecessary anyway. And then if it feels awkward because it means you're always getting changed, they're always going to see you naked because they never fuck off, so they'll be there. Yeah, anyway,
you know when you're swimming, you know they've still got their todgers on, don't you?
Hey, they've still got their todgers on.
Yeah, they don't take them off while they get in the pool.
Yeah, I know, but I mean they're not,
you can't see them, I suppose.
But I mean
you just imagine them.
Yeah, but it's just getting changed with other men in general. It's just a bit weird.
But didn't you say one was quite flagrant in the shower?
But you've got
while
these.
You were
you've
trying
got
to shower.
Little...
He was playing with himself. Basically.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. Well, it was not. I don't think he was playing with himself, but he was just waving. He was just kind of waving it about,
like an invitation.
Yeah. Well, we're going back to the fucking Todger Gate.
So anyway, you were in the pool. We caught up. You're in the pool.
Yeah, anyway, but yeah, the first time I went, I went in one of the little cubicle thingies to get changed. And then for some reason I thought, oh no, I can't, because this is where families come to get changed. I come on the register or something. It's like, oh no, I've got to be a certain distance away from kids when I'm changing. It's like, no, I don't have kids, yeah, or like a family. Doesn't mean I can't get changed in that bit. There's no law against it.
With a family.
It's just, yeah, because they've just got this separate men's bit. And I'm like, why have they got the separate men's bit if... Anyway, you just go into the changing rooms and then just use one of the cubicle thingies directly on your left, so you don't have to go through. And then you'd have to take your shoes off, really, either, because you're meant to put those blue things over your shoes.
Blues.
Yeah, shoe blues. Blue shoes. And
that's what Elvis was singing about, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
About blue suede, yeah. Swimming pools.
Don't step on my plastic little shoe things you put on your feet over your shoes.
Stop waving your cock around.
But yeah, so now I avoid using those. I don't have to use those shoe things. I just go straight in, get in that little cubicle thing, take my shoes off, get changed without having to worry about anyone seeing my arse or my todger. And then...
Don't step on my blue suede cock.
And then... jump in. I did my 40 lengths, which is what I planned on doing. So the other week, previous week, I've only done 32 lengths because I didn't get down there in time, and the pool's only open for like little...
Can I just say, when you say that, I'm imagining a load of men standing in a line and you're calling them lengths.
doing lengths.
I'm sure you are. I'm sure that's what you imagine. Yeah, I assume you turn everything into penis.
Well, it is, to be fair, it is a conversation about penises in swimming pool changing
rooms. Yeah, yeah, okay, yeah. But anyway, the last couple of weeks I've gone down then, I've only done 32 lengths because they've only got like... I can't handle a 33rd, lads. Yes, 34.
Too much.
Yeah.
You've got to pace yourself, mate.
34 sets of 25 metres of the pool. So I did 32. The last previous...
Was that one long one or loads of little ones?
The last 2 weeks, I did 32 sets of 25 metres in the pool. But I wanted to do 40 sets of 25 metres because that adds up to a whole kilometre. Because it's a nice round, you know. I did a kilometre in the pool rather than I did 850 metres or whatever.
I did a kilometre in the pool. Does sound like a euphemism of a different type.
Come on, guys. Oh, no, come on, guys.
I meant you did a poo.
So anyway, yeah, I did my 40 set to 25, did my kilometres worth of swimming, and yeah, feeling good for that.
And that's good.
That, I've been playing around with GarageBand.
Did anyone else give you for your autograph, yeah, thinking you were Duncan Goodhue?
No, because I've my banks have grown out, and my luscious hair from taking those pills.
Oh, that's nice.
Taking those pills and spray has grown out. It's not really, but... It's. I can't.
We can imagine it.
I can't bother to keep
very hairy tongue.
I'm not. I'm really not bothered now. I don't. It doesn't matter. If you don't. If people don't like my head,
if you don't like me the way I am, then
just don't look at me.
Oh, I would like to commend you. I would like to commend you on your GarageBand song from last episode. I thought that was excellent.
Thank you. I'm planning on making a video for it to release on TikTok to promote, because I do. I wanted to make one for the theme tune for this podcast as well, but. That's a bit more difficult to do because I need other people.
I've got an idea about that.
Oh yeah, I need other people involved really because. Yeah, it needs all of us involved and maybe a few fans. I wanted to get a few fans who are up for having a video of themselves laughing at the podcast.
That's one good one.
Or pretending to laugh at the podcast. You don't have to be laughing at the podcast. You just have to be doing your work, be at your computer or doing your gardening or whatever your job is, or walking around Cambridge, and then just get a video of you going, ha, 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 listening on your headphones, because that's the bit when I goes like, I'll make the thing just to make my friends laugh, and then I'll cut to the videos of you.
Because that'll still be fresh in their mind. They would have heard it just now.
But then you guys get to be, when this all blows up, you'll be part of it. So come on. With the GarageBand one, I can do that easily just by myself, filming myself playing around on a keyboard.
I did. You were talking about water stuff. Just a quick one. Have you noticed the new advert on the telly for the Irish lady advertising Tenor sat on the toilet? And it looks
and
I'm worried she's going to piss on her shirt if she's not careful.
Yeah,
good one.
What have you been up to this week?
Oh man, well, I had a busy week. Yeah, I was on the set of this film with Nolan. I don't know if you we talked about it last week.
Oh yeah,
the Freud film, because you wouldn't be placed.
I'm so used to it now. It just seems like it's
yeah. Oh yeah, no, it's blasé. Yeah, I'm very blasé about it.
First of all, I was like, whoa, I can't believe he's Nolan Spielberg. Yeah, I'm sort of...
So we had the catering van this week.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was stood in the catering and someone was going, oh, can you dance? And I go, yeah, I'll show you something. And I started doing my old caterpillar and like windmill and stuff.
Oh, the old ducks moves.
Yeah, Nolan walked over and he goes, you're good. No, I'm not.
You're this good.
This is just mucking around. He goes, no, you are good. He goes, look, I could put a few phone calls in. Anyway, one thing led to another, and I'm going to be at the Paris Games. breaking.
Oh, really?
Yes.
You haven't stolen my moves, have you?
Can't believe it. No.
Are you going to do the lasso moves? One where I pretend I've got a lasso and then I pull the girl towards me?
No, that's not breakdancing. This is proper breakdancing.
I know breakdancing, mate. I am hip-hop and you're not.
Right, so anyway, let's talk about, apart from that, that's all I've been doing this week. That's not that exciting. Tomia. So let's start with this before we get to Johnny's thing about the Aylesbury special. I want to say about Tomia.
Well, explain what Tomia is.
So Tomia was a show we used to make on YouTube all together, a little funny comedy thing we used to do called The Only Made in Aylesbury. And the last one we did was 2017. Big news, Greg's writing now. He's doing music now. I don't work weekends anymore. And we have to set a date that Greg's going to write a screenplay. There's going to be some songs in it. Oh, I don't work weekends. Johnny, you need to say a date when you can be free on a Saturday to film, and he will make a screenplay ready for that date.
Because we did have a production offer back when we were big, didn't we?
Yeah.
No, we did.
From Nolan and Spielberg.
No, we did actually have a production
offer. From that weird website.
Yeah, that weird website.
So, Johnny, what date do you reckon? Sometime in May?
I'm finding out about my new executive job this week with Aylesbury Initiative, so I
live
will
on
let
the
you
podcast,
know.
Johnny.
Yeah,
come on, give me a date.
I don't know. I'll find out this weekend when
I'm
free.
Week you'll give me a date
next week on live on the podcast.
Live on the podcast,
we'll
okay.
go on a date.
Well, that's cool. I can start writing anyway. I'm going to start writing anyway, and then you guys work out.
Yeah, you just write away, mate.
You heard it here first.
No one can stop him. Ain't nobody going to stop
him. For the 20 people that are interested, it's going to happen.
But we're thinking about making it a musical.
Don't give to.
Oh shit! No. Yeah. Fuck.
Thinking about it, might
but if we call it Tomia the Musical, then it'll be kind of obvious.
Talking
it?
Of musicals, I've been working on music this week, and
you haven't actually explained what Tomia is. Tomia, well, yeah, for anyone who doesn't know, Tomia stands for, it's an acronym for The Only Made
in
Aylesbury.
The Only Made in Aylesbury,
and which is kind of a mixture, if you can have a portmanteau of programs other than words, rather than words, of The Only Made in.
We can, because we did. The only way is Essex and Made in Chelsea.
There you go, thank you.
I promise you, we do speak more clearly on the show.
Well, we edit it
scripted,
thoroughly.
It's edited.
Yeah, we'll be. We need some mics for this fucking thing, if we're going to do this. We have to get some decent mics if we want to do this Tomia thing.
Well, I might be coming in some money with the Only Made in Aylesbury page. So.
I don't mind. If we chip in, we could get those, maybe some of those DJI clip-on ones or whatever. Oh, there are other makes. There are other brands, but like we don't have to do that. Yeah.
I don't think I told you is that at the start of this month, Facebook have monetized the Only Made in Aylesbury Facebook page.
Oh, okay,
so I get paid for all the interactivity and engagement I get with the page. So why I've done it.
How much you got so far?
I find out at the end of the month.
Woohoo! I'm sure they kept
my mate worked out, and he reckons it's somewhere between £150. And £5,000.
Put it back in the business. I wish I'd have kept the Aylesbury Grapevine going. Yes, their cat's out of the bag. It was me that ran the Aylesbury Grapevine.
Yeah, but you guys weren't really interested in the Facebook page, so I thought, really, it's mine. But if
I
you do
interested.
Need some money...
I want to get on there and stop... it was all the Bowie stuff. That was all on the...
We were going to talk about the Bowie. That's what's been the big success. But I don't mind giving you a little bit of money if you need some seed money to do something you find fun.
Oh, yeah.
Please, Dad. Thanks, Joe Rogan.
Cheers, Dad.
I'm thinking about starting up a comedy club in Aylesbury.
Called UFO Comedy.
Call it Mothership.
Mothership Comedy.
Do it. I'll come and do a set.
I'll come and do a set.
I'll come pop my cherry.
I've been working on an AI song on a website called Suno. If you go to suno.com, you can make songs. Here's my song.
Walking through the mall, feeling so fine. Got a rumble in my tummy, it's a matter of time. Suddenly it hits me like a ton of bricks. Gotta find a bathroom and gotta find it quick. Stomach's doing flips, I'm holding it tight. Gotta clench those cheeks with all of my might. But before I know it, it's too late to brace. Slipping on something and landing on my face. I can feel the embarrassment spreading like wildfire. Everyone's staring, trying not to inspire. I'm covered in a mess. Oh, what a sight, but I keep my head up. Gonna make it right.
end of the song.
Oh, we've got to do a TikTok of that. That will be a hit.
Turn me down, little Greggy, turn me down.
That sounds like Justin Bieber.
I'm nearer the mic now, you can get me right. Okay.
Yeah, no, that was really good.
It's going to be a hit. Satsuno is going to be a hit.
You write all that yourself?
Nope, you just write what you want to make a song about and it does it for you.
Well, you're going to have to keep that to yourself. Otherwise, everyone will be doing
it. Welcome to the future. It is pretty fucked.
Yeah, it's probably best
what
if you...
What a time to be alive.
It's probably better if you let AI do it.
Yeah, come on in, Johnny, to read
well,
that.
Well, I was going to let Greg...
Oh, yeah, go on in to Greg.
Read and, you then, found it, Greg. And then you can describe the picture. Like I said, this is a post on a Facebook page that I'm... monetizing, so I want engagement, and I thought this was a little bit of fun.
Born and bred in Aylesbury, David Bowie rarely left the Buckinghamshire market town and wrote all of his songs in the Uptown Coffee Bar. The popular local was crowned town mayor a record 14 times and he insisted all his albums and films were recorded in Aylesbury, much to the annoyance of Mick Jagger, who hails from Wendover. David's hits included Under Pressure and Absolute Beginners, both inspired by AVDC. Hashtag Aylesbury, hashtag David Bowie, hashtag Aylesbury.
So some people get the joke. And
the, with a picture, describe the picture.
Well, the picture is David Bowie in his labyrinth get-up, superimposed, photoshopped in front of a church square.
But obviously photoshopped
Photoshopped.
In front of St Mary's.
So this went around for ages and it's come back up again, has it? Because it's got
no,
like 700
comments on it. No, I reposted
it
because I wanted, because they've said they'd monetize
okay,
it.
Okay, right.
I shared it and then I realised, shared it from the old post and I realised that wouldn't be new content. So I... reposted the picture and reposted the thing and it went even bigger than it has last time. I'd say about a third of the people get the joke, which I was surprised about, but the rest of the people seem really, really annoyed that David Bowie was born and bred in Aylesbury, which I find hard to believe.
I was born and bred in Aylesbury and Bowie definitely wasn't. We've only got your word for that.
Well, someone wrote he was a Brixton boy. So the only made in Aylesbury wrote Aylesbury baby, and he put no Brixton, and I wrote absolutely correct, no Brixton.
Didn't you just say I wrote then?
Yeah, I wrote.
Do you
it,
mean
yeah.
You write the post? It's the only made in Aylesbury.
Yeah.
Woohoo!
Yeah. You were right. Talking about someone else saying he was born in Brixton. You were right. He had his debut concert in Aylesbury, but he was defo born in Brixton. And I thought, you think David Bowie's first ever gig was in Aylesbury in 1971? And you're supposed to be fans. He's been going since the 60s.
Yeah. He's been recorded since... I saw that. 71. I was like, are you sure? That's like, it's when he kicked off or whatever in the 70s. But yeah, he was going before that.
People were writing, that's complete tosh. So I put a picture of tosh from... Was it The Bill?
Oh, yeah.
Tosh
yeah.
Lines from The Bill.
Yeah.
So what is this website if anyone wants to look at it?
And what's Facebook.
It's called Facebook, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like social media. It's like TikTok, but olden times.
And I take it the page is called... What's the Facebook page? What's going on?
The Only Made in Aylesbury.
Right. Some guy posted, said... It's quite funny from... Can I say people's names on here? I don't know.
Oh, well, they're already on there, so you can if you want.
Yeah, exactly. Terence Ward says, Elvis lived in Aylesbury for a few years to avoid conscription to the Vietnam War. My mum recognised him in the High Street Wimpy, and he told her the full story. It's quite funny. Johnny put, that does sound a bit far-fetched, but he's obviously having a laugh.
I tried to be quite benign and silly in the responses. Someone here wrote, I read that Win was, this David Bowie song, was written about a meat draw. David won in an Aylesbury pub in 72. Is this true? The alleged win was a chicken, belly pork, sausages, bacon and some tongue. And the Only Made in Aylesbury wrote, Bowie could never lose a raffle. They had to ban him in the end because the other punters wouldn't buy any tickets if David was involved. Imagine if I get 10 grand for this. Would I tell you?
Oh, why I order... Hey, that's our money too.
As someone wrote, not convinced he was born and bred in Aylesbury. And then the Only Made in Aylesbury wrote, have faith. And then someone wrote, didn't he live next door to his lifelong friend Fish? And then the Only Made in Aylesbury wrote, he had to move out because he said it felt like living in a fishbowl. Oh, here we go. I thought it was an April Fool's joke. Neither Jagger and Bowie hailed from Aylesbury. Both from my neck of the woods in South London / Dartford area. And the Only Made in Aylesbury replied, have they got a David Bowie statue that sings on the hour?
Have we got a statue, mate? Yeah. Why else have we got a statue? Why do we have the statue unless he was born here and wrote all his songs here?
Facts. And then someone wrote, anyone remember the chip shop down the high street? The man who served you was always singing. Can't remember his name, though. And I wrote, Straw Hat?
Bowie, you should have wrote.
Oh, yeah, that's more evidence, yet more evidence.
Yeah, the guy who worked in the chip shop, David Bowie, when he retired. I remember that.
Grace Hardy goes, a lot of people questioning his birth in Aylesbury. Very few people challenging his 14 times over mayoral crowning. Let me ask you this. If he wasn't born in the Vale, why on earth would he want to keep being the mayor? It's a pretty thankless task unless you've got the blood of the town coursing through your veins.
Very true.
Well, somebody else who's got a lot to do with Aylesbury. Have you got any more of those to do, Johnny?
I was only going to say, I thought it was obvious that that was a joke.
Yeah.
And then I put the picture from Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid with the tagline, David Bowie was definitely born and bred in Aylesbury. And then the other one says, oh, good, for a moment there, I thought we were in trouble. And they're still posting today. But one person did actually make a comment saying about Marillion, and he spoke about a guy called Brick. And I did put a serious post up about that, and it was the late Brick, real name Martin Gates, was the inspiration for Marillion's Market Square Heroes. And there's a picture of him sat outside the Green Man, and I did a thanks to the guy and put a link to the actual video of Marillion while they were doing, or Fish in Marillion, doing Hobble on the Cobbles, actually telling the story about them fighting the National Front in Kingsbury Square. And that's he inspired the whole song, and that's quite sweet. But I also, the next post I put was a picture showing the highest selling singer or band from each county in England. And they'd obviously made a mistake because of Buckinghamshire, they put Marillion. So I photoshopped that and put David Bowie and posted that as conclusive proof that David Bowie was born in Aylesbury. and still people are writing it's not true.
Yeah, no, it's like, can't they just put, the proper response to that is, a laughy thing at the bottom of his post. That's all it is. It's like, haha.
Well,
that's how you respond to it, isn't it? Because it's a joke.
Yeah, but you're going
to No! I mean, if you hadn't done it, I mean, the fact that you've got a post of picture of like a clearly superimposed David Bowie from the Labyrinth in St. Mary's Square.
I made no effort to make it look realistic.
Yeah, in front of St. Mary's Church, which is like, yeah.
You do always know you are going to get the yin and yang, aren't you? You're going to get the opposite of everything. So you're always going to get that, them people.
Like, but they're making us money, baby.
Retards.
Well, they're making you money.
People writing fake news.
When you say us, you mean you, don't you?
Yeah. And then people writing, look on Wikipedia. And I responded, you can't believe anything you read on the internet. And they didn't get the irony in that. But one woman was writing, she went on and on for ages. And I thought she was getting annoyed. In the end, she got the joke. But she was saying, I'm a tutor, and fake news like this on the internet fools young people into thinking this is real and it rewrites history. And I was like, oh, please, I never imagined I could rewrite history. If one of your students quotes me as a thesis, please let me know.
Oh, yeah, please. Yeah, I mean, if kids are that thick these days and, willing to believe any old fucking shit they hear on the internet and Facebook.
Well, they do normally get AI to write them for them, don't they?
Then fair dues, if you're not teaching kids to read
books. To be fair, I may have had an effect on AI writing about David Bowie.
It's good stuff.
Anyway,
check it out.
Let's do my quiz then.
But thanks for everyone. Thanks for everyone that got involved and wrote. We love you all. And it was only a jape. And please keep on listening.
That's the Owls Bowie, isn't it? For this, so you're going to share this for them to listen to it as well.
Yeah, I thought we'd put this on as an explanation.
And what you're going to, Greg was going.
I was thinking of going on privately messaging some of these people who clearly don't understand it's a joke, and just going. I think it was meant to be a joke. Just like,
yeah, how do you know if they're not? They might be trolling as well.
Yeah, well, exactly, yeah.
You don't know.
You go, are you trolling me? Because, I mean, I'm trolling you, but are you trolling me too?
Troll-a-lo-a-lo.
Yeah, everyone's trolling everyone, maybe.
But we'll see how it goes, and I'll keep you updated and see how much money I make.
Well, your pockets are fat with cash. Oh, that's not
everything's
cash.
Everything's
fat. Oh, just, not cash. Oh, right, sorry.
Oh, you're being nasty. Well, the young people won't like that.
Right, let's do my quiz. Born to Italian immigrants.
What?
Born to Italian immigrants in Aylesbury, Buckinghamshire. Sinatra began his musical career in the swing era and was greatly influenced by the easy listening vocal style of Bing Crosby. He found success as a solo artist after signing with Columbia Records when they saw him performing in Friars Square Shopping Centre. So Frank Sinatra, my Frank Sinatra quiz of this week.
Where was Bing Crosby from?
He was born in Aylesbury, Wendover, I think.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Somewhere in Hertford. No, Hertfordshire. Let's not fuck about Hertfordshire.
Bing Crosby's from Watford.
Let's not piss about.
Oh, no, you can't do Watford's Elton John's from
right,
there.
Anyway, let's do my Sinatra quiz.
That's why he wasn't on the map.
So I will give Albans. You...
Oh, Elton John was down as London on that map.
Yeah, no, because that's because Great. Sorry, I think part of Hertfordshire was included on that.
Oh,
in that Greater London bit, I think.
Well,
maybe.
Listen, if you want to check out the map, just go to the Only Made in Aylesbury on Facebook.
I think he's part from a part of Watford that's right on the edge of London. So, I mean, Watford is right on the edge of London, isn't
like
it?
Like that
so,
boxer.
Yeah, Anthony Joshua,
Michael, Tony Benn,
Anthony Joshua. If he wins from Aylesbury, obviously.
Yeah. Everyone's from Aylesbury because it's the centre. It's right in the centre. It's the arsehole. It's where, like I said, it's like Kansas. If you take
it's
away
the belly
some
button,
of the, yeah, or the belly button, even yeah, yeah.
Or the erect, weirdly placed nipple, because we're on a hill, aren't we?
Yeah.
So here's the Frank Sinatra quiz this week. I'm going to give you some Frank Sinatra songs, and you've got to tell me if they're real or if they're fake.
Okie doke.
Are you ready? Okay, here we go. Here's the first one. That's life.
Yeah, that's well, no, hang on, that's, is that his song? I mean, yeah. He sung it, yeah.
That's
yeah,
what
yeah.
all the people say. But is that a question?
Yeah, is it real or fake? Something.
What, That's Life, the
is
song?
That a real Shut Sinatra song me. Or a fake
yeah.
one?
That's real, yeah.
Correct. Ding! That's a real yeah. Sinatra song. Yeah. Okay, number two. And I go and spoil it all by saying something stupid no. like I love
He sang
you.
It, but he didn't
it's
write
not, it's not
he
his
sang
song,
it.
Is it?
No, he wrote, he sang it. He sang
is it a Sinatra song? Yes, a real or fake?
Yes, it's a real song.
Bing!
It's a real song.
Sinatra.
But sung by, he's saying songs sung by Sinatra.
Strangers in the night exchanging
glances. Correct. Something into the
You sexy thing.
You sexy thing.
Fly me to the moon.
Let me fly among the stars.
That was a song about he famously wrote about Love and Ready Records, wasn't it?
Jupiter and Mars.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was true, yes.
Start spreading the news.
I love you. I'm still singing the other one.
I think I've won this, unless there's a million. That song was written about the Bucks Herald.
And now the end is near.
Yeah, obviously. They're all Sinatra songs.
Bing! And the final one. Come fly with me.
Let's fly away.
Is that Sinatra?
If you could use some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay.
That song was actually written about the airfield in Leighton Buzzard.
And it's perfect for a flying honeymoon, right, they okay, say.
Because they were all Sinatra
fly with
songs.
Me, let's fly,
so it's
let's
always
fly.
Good to bring something to the table.
Back up, let's fly away.
Little change of pace. I remembered, I had a memory. I think I was living in.
Oh, you had a memory.
South
well
Court.
Done.
Yeah, you know, they say when you get to a certain age, you start vividly remembering things from childhood. I remember saving up all my pocket money and going to Taylor and McKenna. And buying like a, it was like a model kit of like, what they call it, Gangnam, you know, the sort
the
of Japanese robot things. Yeah. Because I thought it would look cool and it had Japanese writing on it. I remember taking it home and for weeks I looked at that box. I never made the model. I don't know where the box is now. And I think that says something about capitalism, doesn't it?
It's funny you say that because Bowie used to work in Taylor McKenna.
Yeah, that's what
was
he said
you
on the
talking
thing.
About the guy that hid all the black planes in the roof. In
yeah,
there.
I was going to say someone sent in a message about a story about someone that worked in Taylor McKenna in the model section, and he got so bored they just used to open random model kits and make the planes, and then he'd paint them black and throw them into a void in the ceiling. and then one day the manager came, and one of the things in the ceiling was. He noticed it wasn't straight. When he went to move it, all these planes fell out.
Black planes.
Yeah.
I think that's the funniest part of that is that he paints them all black.
Yeah, yeah. So it seems like it couldn't be found so easily. But apparently the manager then made a display on the counter of all these planes he'd made, and the bloke went in and came in and looked at him and went, oh, you found out. That, I asked for more details.
There, then?
Huh?
Oh, you don't know if he's still working there.
No, I think that was I think that was in the '80s. That was long after David Bowie had stopped working there.
Well, we're half an hour into the podcast now, and something I like to do, a regular slot we like to do every week, while we can do it, is a dirty séance. And this week, oh, I channeled somebody who
I think I'm going to lose a few likes.
Recently departed, and that was Orange Juice Simpson. OJ
Spirits
Simpson.
Come down and they go up his bum. I was thinking about theme tune.
And the rhythm of life is a curious thing. Get the spirit come down.
It's a dirty seance.
So, yeah.
It's a dirty seance. And they come through me. Through my ass.
The thing is, this week,
into my brain,
I'm forcing him down. I don't really want him to come through because I don't think you've got anything you want to talk to him about.
I've got a couple of questions.
Well, yeah,
got a few questions for him.
He's fighting me, but I don't want him really here.
Yeah, no, go on, do it, do it.
All right.
Are you all right? Fuck.
Yeah, man, I'm all right.
Oh, that was quick. Hello, is that you?
Phil James Simpson here.
Is that you, the Juice?
That's me, the Juice Simpson, yeah.
The slowest getaway driver in the history of getaway drivers.
Hey, what you saying, man?
I'm saying, I like, you know when you were doing that pratfall in the wheelchair?
Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah.
That was brilliant. But what I wanted to ask was, you know when they had the gloves with your DNA in it, on it,
and
the blood of your ex-wife, mm-hmm. and the fella that came from the shop to bring her handbag back.
Yeah.
You know when you went in court and you pretended to put it on, but you made your hands look really big by splaying them out and they wouldn't fit
you
in the glove?
Splayed?
Yeah.
Well, no, you can see it.
They don't fit, look, see?
It's on camera. It's like...
I was acquitted.
Yeah.
I was acquitted for murder.
And then do you remember you got done for stealing your own T-shirts and they gave you 33 years afterwards?
Hey, man. In 2023, I was diagnosed with cancer and had the confidence I would beat it. I started chemo. In February 2024, prostate cancer.
Yeah, no, we believe it's you. You don't need to go through Wikipedia. Yeah. But what I was thinking was, do you think it's ironic that Norm Macdonald, that took the piss out of you all the way through your trial, actually died of cancer before you did?
I was the frequent subject of mocking jokes by Norm Macdonald on Saturday Night Live. These jokes become famous and they caused him to be fired by NBC. For these jokes about me, yeah?
Yeah, I think that's it. And I think this is actually...
You know what? I kind of like this podcast, fellas.
Because you've never...
I think I'm going to stick around for the whole show.
OJ, you're a bit like MJ, aren't you?
Well, two letters, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. OJ and MJ, but I mean, you know...
And they both can't get their hands up.
Divisive, polarising figures.
I think we've glossed over the fact that OJ Simpson has never, ever once publicly spoken about the jokes that Norm Macdonald made about him. And I think we've got some breaking news, an exclusive.
Look, man, to me, it's all just water off a duck's back. I'm a tough cookie and I got a tough attitude.
Is that an Elsbury duck?
Jokes about me, it's... I don't know where Elsbury is.
Probably going to cut you out of this one, OJ. Sorry, mate.
Okay, I'm gone then. Bye. Oh, he's gone. Yep, good. Greg says something gets cut. There's no point in carrying it on.
Well, how did you know that? Because you were under.
You have to mess it. Well, I heard OJ through. When Greg speaks, even though we're having a bit of fun, like the joke's over, I was like, oh no, that's it. It's done.
Oh, do you not channel people? Do people not come through you?
That's like the Manchester
Candidate. No.
Oh,
it's
all a joke.
You made it up?
Yeah.
Well, really?
Yeah. That's killed it.
Did you know they don't come through him?
Huh?
He said he was making it up all the time. People don't come through him.
Oh, right. Oh, what? Oh.
Yeah, you knew that all the time, man.
Oh, man, I thought they...
Yeah, Barry, you like exercises.
Oh, shit, I've been numbing that.
I've got
to
a good exercise
go
for
on.
You.
What's
Here's
that?
A good exercise. What I want you to do... Right, go on, stand up.
Go on, okay, right, here we go.
Touch your toes.
Yep, done that.
And then spell out the word run 3 times.
R-U-N, R-U-N, R-U-N.
I'm not in yet.
Oh, by the way, I've been nominated for an acting award by Tarantino, my Sigmund Freud chicken acting. I had to do like a chicken dance, Sigmund Freud, and Tarantino was on the set and he saw me and goes, you should get an acting award. Probably one of the best awards you could ever get. A big
Spielberg,
one.
First Spielberg, then Nolan, and now Tarantino.
Oh, just found out some incorrect information about Magnum PI.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what the PI stands for?
Insemination, partial insemination.
Did everyone know that?
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Because I just found that out.
Yeah, fucking old news, buddy.
He's about to get into the edge of orgasm, isn't it?
Yeah, no.
And he's about to come. He never used to show that. I never knew it meant partial insemination. I thought it meant private investigator or something.
Do you want me to?
Yeah,
do...
so partial. It's basically when you wank to the point of, and then you just put your penis in the woman's vagina right at the end. So, but
you can't actually partially inseminate. You either inseminate or you don't. It's like a binary thing.
I think it's for women who don't want to have really want to have sex with the guy. And they go and go, just go and stick it in just quickly once and then pfft.
Well there's a tip for you.
Yeah.
I've got a couple of other jokes if you like.
Nah.
Alright.
Yeah, of course I like.
Bing, bing, bing,
bing, I love. Mango. I don't like Johnny. I love.
I was wondering this week's I've been working on this one. Do small boats get intimidated by the British Channel? Don't worry, they'll get over it.
Hey. Bing, 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 bang, bang, go.
And Donald Trump is guest starring on RuPaul's The Drag Race this week. His drag name is Anita Pardon.
Greg's got a good impression this week. Greg, do your impression of a whole old lady having sex with the fox. That sexual intruder from the 1980s in Leighton Buzzard and Inslee that was on that Channel 5 programme.
Why don't you explain the Lemon Tree... That's, you're doing this a bit of a weird way around. Don't you want to talk about the Lemon Tree fox first rather than just go, yeah, the fox, and no one knows what you're talking about.
Don't you want to talk about it first?
Well, yeah, I guess I'm going to have to. So there's a guy... Actually, I do want to talk about it because it's kind of funny because we mentioned Tommy earlier, so that this makes sense. But we did an episode called The Lemon Tree Fox where there was a guy just in the loft. It was our mate Jeff, and he was just like a bit of a weird guy in the loft.
It's now a tattoo shop.
And then he fell down the steps or whatever. It's a stupid. You can find it on YouTube. It's one of our many stupid.
One of our finer moments. I mean, and a standalone classic.
Yeah, sorry, one of our great episodes. But anyway, we called it the Lemon Tree Fox because it's something that I knew from my childhood or from years back. I don't know. No, I heard about it in my 20s, I think. I heard about the Lemon Tree Fox. And as far as I knew, the Lemon Tree Fox was kind of harmless. It was creepy, but harmless. And he'd wait in people's... I thought he was someone who waited in someone's loft. He'd break into their house, hide in their loft, and then just watch them sleep. You know, like drill a hole in their ceiling or whatever, and like watch them sleep, live up there for a bit, but didn't cause any harm. And would go away, and then people would just find some stuff in the loft later and be like, oh my god, the Lemon Tree Fox was here. But in reality he was a brutal rapist with a shotgun who like stormed people's houses.
Really?
Blew some guy's hand off like with a shotgun, raped him. Like, well, no, he didn't rape that guy. That guy, he ran away with that guy. He shot his hand off, then ran away. But then some other dude...
Hands up.
It was men and women and men, so he just tied him up and raped him and fucked with him and... Yeah.
In a way, at least he wasn't prejudiced.
But he didn't actually, murder. He didn't get to. He didn't end up murdering anyone, any of them. But
do you think that was his choice?
But his name was Malcolm Farley, and he was only called the Fox. You added the Lemon Tree bit on it to make it more like child friendly or happy or whatever. Like Lemon Tree Fox.
Yeah, where did I get
they
the
never
lemon
mentioned
bit?
Lemon Tree. They just called him the Fox.
Then it's got nothing to do with Lemon Tree.
It's got
Fox.
Nothing to do with Lemon Tree. It's just the Fox.
Thank God for that.
But Greg added Lemon Trees. Like, yeah, but Lemon Tree summer Lemon
so
Trees.
So maybe I made up. Maybe my version is its own creation.
No, but Basil Brush was a fox.
Yeah, but not. I don't know what the Lemon Tree.
As
or maybe
in he was.
Maybe that story's been told, and it was Leighton Buzzard. It's the Leighton Buzzard Fox, and somehow Leighton Buzzard's turned into Lemon Tree.
So in other news this week, did you see that John Richardson and Lucy Beaumont have sadly announced their divorce after five series together? That's bad, man.
Oh, no. I liked her when she was Melinda Messenger.
She looks a little bit like her.
I think she's funny.
I think she's all right as well.
She's dating an Australian bloke now off of Taskmaster.
Is she really, though?
I suspect.
They did a podcast together.
No, they did Taskmaster together, and they would have been around each other for a long time. Now they're doing a lovey-dovey podcast together.
It's not a lovey-dovey podcast. Or is it about love?
Do you think she's still single? All right, yeah, cool. I was just getting jealous.
You might be right. What's it called, the podcast again?
We're Shagging.
So the listeners can listen to that and judge for themselves.
We're Shagging with me, Crazy Sam, and Lucy.
And me, Lucy Bubble.
Okay, that's good. We're doing a podcast together because we're both crazy. And we both say weird, crazy things, don't we, Lucy?
Garlic up my bum when I had worms.
Like, that's exactly what sort of thing I do.
I got one for you. What do you call a deer with no eyes?
No idea.
I don't know either. Then you go, what do you call a man with no eyes?
No eye man.
No, I think the correct protocol would be to ask him what his name is and call him that to begin with.
No eye man. Him. Blind man. A blind man.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say that. That's why I'd written down.
The ears are the window of the soul.
Ant and Dec have ended, didn't they?
Ended what?
Their program.
Their relationship.
Yeah, they've ended it, and it was very emotional. But I reckon Ant and Dec's pranks are fakes, because they were sat next to each other in a restaurant and did it over and over again, where they had to do that thing where someone in their ear says, do this, do that. But and some of it was throwing food around, some of it was shouting, some of it was standing up going, oh, I miss my friend.
I saw some of it. But I was just thinking, if you were in a place and you saw Ant or Dec there, you'd just assume that they were doing some shit like that anyway.
Or if you didn't know who they were and you were sat next to them and they weren't actors in the restaurant.
It's not really embarrassing for them.
But imagine that you didn't know that and it was really random people in the restaurant. You're sat there and you've taken your missus on a last chance meeting to save the marriage and not split the family up because you don't want to be separated from the kids, and someone acted like that,
you'd
punch him in the neck.
I wouldn't be surprised if every single diner in that restaurant were actors. The whole thing.
That's what I'm implying.
If it's just a random member of the public and you're going, oh, do this, do that, and they're standing there going, oh, there's jeopardy there, because it's like, because everyone's thinking, exactly, who the fuck is this person? Whereas Ant and Dec, they're like, well, everyone knows we do japes all the time, and they're not going to be they're just not going to be embarrassed. It's pointless.
They're pretending
to be embarrassed. It's crap.
What if there's some foreigners in there?
What do you mean?
Some foreigners that didn't watch English TV.
Oh, okay, I suppose.
Well, not even foreigners, but people that don't know Ant and Dec. That would be difficult.
Yeah.
All right, I thought of one for you. Oh, no, it's gone wrong. Where's it gone? All right, edit this in, or don't. Do they call it mansplaining because miss is already in misunderstanding?
Yes.
Oh, cool beans. Did you lot like computer games? Did you watch the Grammy Awards of computer games?
No.
Did Baldur's Gate 3 win a lot?
I don't know. I think, well, they made Lara Croft the icon computer character of all time, and I would have thought that would surely be Mario.
We watched the GeoGuessr World Championships.
I mean, you'd think Mario, I would have thought.
It was a Dungeons & Dragons game won the best game at the moment.
Yeah, Baldur's Gate 3.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yes,
if you think how many Mario games there's been, you know what I mean?
Five.
But how many iterations of Mario games has been, including Mario
Rabbids?
But
why has there never been a female Mario?
You don't need a female Mario.
If you do,
if you showed Family Fortune's 100 people a picture of Lara Croft and a picture of Mario, I reckon more people would guess Mario than Lara Croft.
Yeah, and but he's been in way more games. Like the Tomb Raider games has probably been about what, 8 or 9 maybe. But the Mario games has been hundreds, or about 100, I'd say. Think about it; it's been loads, isn't there?
Salio and Suigi.
Why are you shut up?
Salio and Suigi.
Salio?
Yeah, female Mario. Salio and Suigi. Mm.
You got Princess. You got Princess Peach. You got another princess. There's someone else.
I thought you liked computer games.
Yeah,
but
I do.
I think whenever I bring up a topic, you never want to engage. You just want to go back to your list and cut me off. Yeah. I don't know, mate. I mean,
I'm
the one with 200 fucking thousand people following me, mate. And I'm trying to help you out.
Right.
And I get letters written in about
you
how good I am on this bloody podcast,
about
mate.
The computer.
And you treat
letters?
Me like this.
Jimmy Savile.
Oh, you want to stay with him?
We're
all
three
right.
different
football,
people
I'm
three
leaving.
Different paths in life that come together and talk over each other about three different things each week that don't listen to what either of us are saying. Just
I'm
talk.
Listening.
Or yeah, listen to this.
Greg can say, I don't talk over Johnny people because he edits
the thing
it
about
out.
Computer games. And he said, I shut it down and didn't want to talk about it.
You shut everything
First
down.
First question was, did you watch the Emmys for computer games? Answer, no.
Grammys.
No.
I said the Grammys, yeah. See, I listen.
So I know nothing about it.
Yeah, but you know about computer games.
But yes, I do know about computer games. That's why I told you Baldur's Gate 3 won.
And you were right.
And you
I didn't
denied
realize.
It.
I didn't deny it.
And
I
you
didn't
said it didn't. And then it did. And then you said, I'm not talking about it. No, honestly, though, what do you want to say about video games?
Nothing.
What do you want to know?
I thought he would start you to chatting.
I haven't got a chat with you. Do you want to get into the world of video games?
I remember I used to get that magazine, Computer and Video Games, when I was a kid.
Okay.
That's about as much as I know.
Now them two are out of the room. It's time for me and you to talk together. That's right, listeners. It's just me and you now. We can relax. Hey, you know the song Rocket Man by Elton John? That's got some of the worst lyrics in it in any song. Let me give you an example. Mars ain't the kind of place to raise your kids. Okay, yeah, well, that makes sense. In fact, it's cold as hell. Hell isn't meant to be cold, Elton. And there's no one there to raise them if you did. Well, you should be there to raise your kids, Elton. And all the science, I don't understand. It's just my job 5 days a week. Well, you're a rocket man, Elton. You should understand the science. Anyway, that's the end of me on my own. They're coming back now, so let's move on.
They've put up loads of flags in Aylesbury Town Centre. St George's crosses and Union Jacks. But all the Union Jacks seem to have rolled themselves up and the St George's crosses haven't.
Different ink.
Might be. But I was thinking, would it be better if rather than using a man in medieval armour to represent St. George, they just use a picture of George Michael. Because he was also Greek.
The patron saint of Marks and Spencers.
Yeah, St. Michael. No, but I thought you could still call him St. George, but at least he was born in England.
Where was St. George born? Greece?
No, it's modern-day Turkey, but it was called someone else then. He was a Roman. What have they ever done for us?
He was a Roman.
Yeah, go on, around. Yay! I'm the type of saint that likes to kill dragons.
We got a podcast for you.
Because he was from Elsbury, wasn't he?
Elsbury special. If it's the first time you're listening, I hope you really enjoy.
Dick's out of Diddy's house. Bad boys for life.
Teach a man how to make a fire warm for a day.
It's like I always say, there's nothing to be learned from the second kick of a mule.
Do you remember that wartime song by Vera Poo? We'll shit again.
There's Bear Grylls shit in the woods.
Do you remember that song by Coldplay called I Did a Poo and it was all yellow?
Have you ever noticed the Back in Black actress looks like she was married to Tom Hardy in Legend? Very sad.
You know the song Fernanda by ABBA? It's all about shitting yourself.
24 hours in A&E isn't a TV programme anymore. It's just the shortest waiting time for accident and emergency.
You seem to have a little bit of a fixation on poo.
When the thunder calls you from a mountain high, spread your wings and fly.
Spread your butt cheeks and...
Whoa, what's your fixation with butt cheeks and shit?
Spread your butt cheeks and... there's nothing to rhyme with fly.
Here's one for Clever Greg. How far is Russia from America?
What exactly in miles?
Yep.
I would say, we're about 3,000 miles from Asia. It's probably about the same. 3,000 miles. I don't know.
Can I have a guess?
3,000 miles.
42 miles.
Approximately 55 miles.
Bang on, thank you.
Oh, right, trick question. Is this like Canada linking to the furthest part of Siberia?
No, it's one end of America to one end of Russia. However, it's 55 miles from the US at the Bering Strait's narrow point. However, in the body of water between Alaska and Russia, known as the Bering Strait, there lie two small islands known as Big Diomede and Little Diomede. Big Diomede is owned by Russia, while Little Diomede is owned by the US, and the stretch of water between those two islands is only 2.5 miles wide.
So what's it the other way? Because I was thinking across the Atlantic. I was saying
how close they were. Have you seen the latest advert for Macmillan support?
No.
You know Macmillan Cancer Support?
Their latest campaign,
you know, like...
I probably have.
Movember, grow a moustache.
You have to remind me.
It's called a rock and mullet for Macmillan Cancer Support.
And they're asking
people to grow a mullet for people dying of cancer. That's a bit on the nose, isn't it, I think?
I've not seen that, no.
No comment.
But yeah,
it's not a joke.
Yeah. I mean, I could grow a mullet. That part of my hair is perfectly fine. So, yeah.
Just the middle bit you'll be able to grow.
But I've got a little tuft at the front, so that's fine. I can still do a proper mullet.
Do you remember why Gino De Campo went to prison?
Because he broke into George Michael's house and stole his records.
He used to rape people with a shotgun. he was the fox.
He broke into Paul Young's house and robbed it.
Hey, I knew I was close.
Oh.
Oh.
He said, did you hear what he said about it?
He said, if my auntie had wheels, she'd be a bicycle.
He said, I regret doing it. When I was younger, I was stupid.
Oh, yeah. No, I just... So it's like David Dickinson. He got done for fraud, didn't he?
Did he really?
Yeah.
He went
to prison for fraud.
Did Gino De Campo really break into Paul Young's house?
Yeah. Did you hear what David Dickinson said? We don't know anymore, do we? Did you hear what David Dickinson said about that? He goes, oh, I really regret it.
What, he really regrets Gino De Campo?
He really regrets doing fraud when he was young. Hey, I've got a good one
for
you.
They actually asked Gino De Campo... about David Dickinson getting done for fraud, and he said, what, that old chestnut?
I'll never know with you.
Hey, next time you see someone having a glass of milk, go up and shake it and go, do you like milkshake? No. Ask them if they like milkshake first.
How do you make chocolate milkshake?
Don't know.
Same way you make strawberry milkshake.
No, it's not.
Nothing like driving a petrol bike on a field.
I don't know, I just think rock and mullet for Macmillan Cancer Support is a bit off. It's like they're trying to be edgelordy about... I mean, it stayed in my mind, don't get me wrong.
Poo! Did
I
you
think
know?
You're off.
Did you know that up until the 50s, the Olympics included playing musical, like art, and playing musical instruments? So you'd get a gold for playing the trumpet and gold for doing a painting.
Right.
Shit like that.
So
did you know that?
Every time you do a fat, I'll go, give us another.
Okay.
So do your fat. Let's start again.
Okay. Did you know that they used to do art? There used to be awards for art or medals for art at the Olympics up until the 50s.
Oh, give us another.
Did you know that in ancient Greece, as a method to find out, did you know?
No, I didn't know that one.
In ancient Greece, as an ancient pregnancy test, they would put an onion up the woman's vagina after she'd,
what thought she was pregnant?
Yeah, after she'd been fucked, I think they stuck it up in the.
Are you sure that the bloke that had sex with her stuck an onion up there and then smelt her breath in the morning?
I think she
suspected she was pregnant, they would stick an onion up her.
No, they stuck an onion up, and then if her breath smelt of onion in the morning, then
who's they? The local rugby team? Or the bloke that's just had sex with
her. But then if her breath smelled funny, then she wasn't pregnant. But that doesn't make... Yeah, so, but obviously that part isn't connected to the...
I reckon if you stuck an onion up a woman before you went to bed and you woke up in the morning and her breath smelled of onion, you've stuck it at the wrong end.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So they obviously didn't know much about the body. They obviously hadn't started doing autopsies and stuff like that then. They're just like, yeah, because that's the wrong hole.
What, do women die straight after you've had sex with
them? For their breath to smell, isn't it? So the idea was, so it's ridiculous anyway.
No,
but
I meant
yeah,
they put the onion in
the idea
mouth.
Is that the onion would be blocking the smell. The baby would be blocking the smell of the onion if there was a baby there, so her breath wouldn't smell. But obviously it's the wrong set of
what?
Tubes.
What, her breath?
Yeah, so that she puts the onion up her, I think, in the evening, and in the morning, if her breath smells of onion, then she's not pregnant, because the onion, there's been a clear passageway for the smell of the onion to go up through her body, even though it's the wrong fucking hole. Yeah, so it would have been the case that everyone was pregnant. They would have thought everyone was pregnant because no one's breath would have smelt of onion, would they?
So I suppose, in a way, the greengrocer would know a lot more about your sex life depending on whether you asked for a lovely autumn English onion or a little spring onion.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the rule was on the size of the onion. I suppose, yeah, spring onion would have been probably better.
Cheese and onion, probably.
Give us another.
Although spring onion might get lost, yeah, I don't know.
It depends on your luck, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, give us another.
I think that's about it. Oh, the sexagesimal number system. Know anything about that?
Sexy decimal.
Have you ever wondered why we've got 60 minutes in an hour and 60 seconds, etc.?
Not until you just said it, but yeah, why not?
That was because of the Sumerians from ancient Mesopotamia.
Sumerians.
Yeah, it's a 60-point base number system, whereas we use mostly 10-point base or whatever. Most of us, it's all decimal stuff, isn't it? But anyway, it's something we've kept clinged on to from ancient times. There's a good reason for it, because it's quite a good number system, because 60 can be divided. It's the lowest number that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and 6 can go into, into 60.
If number files or factoid fans have lasted this long, they've really been paid off.
Yeah. I wanted to explain that in a slightly better way, but yeah, you understand. It does kind of make sense, but I'm surprised we don't use it in other things. But to be fair, in England, we've got a weird mixture, haven't we? So we've got that. We've got the time. Everyone shares the same time thing from ancient Mesopotamia or whatever. But we still have miles, don't we? For instance, like we've adopted the metric system with kilograms,
but not for a pint.
Kilograms and what have you, but then we still have stones. We still
have a pint of beer.
We still can't afford it. I think people are slowly starting to move over into kilograms. Like when they weigh themselves, they'll say kilograms now. A lot of because they train or whatever, and you tend to. Everyone goes, because you're lifting in kilograms, so it's weird, isn't it? To say, I weigh this in stone, but I'm lifting this much kilograms. Because you want to know if you're lifting your body weight. People are sort of shifting over because I think there's more of a trend in working out now. People didn't go to the gym in the 50s and 60s. No one went to the gym, did they? Apart from the odd bodybuilder, like Junior Arnie or whatever. But now it's a thing. People go to the gym all the time.
That was the fella that invented the whole thing about lifting weights. And he was telling people about kicking. You don't want to get sand kicked in your face and someone stealing your girlfriend.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
why was it? Why is it
the bull worker?
Yeah, there was people before Arnie, obviously, but yeah, there's been strong men. You know, in the Victorian times. Yeah, I mean, up until the 80s, it was all like twiddly moustache guys working in fairs or whatever.
I've started
wrestlers.
Working out again.
Huh? Yeah, me too. Yeah, kind of. Well, not kind of. I am, and yeah.
But just in case any the Only Made in Aylesbury people are taking offence.
Yeah, come running after.
I've been lifting weights. Well, yeah. I won't be running.
Well, that's why I'm doing cardio. It's easier to. It's better
that's
to
why
run
I brought
away
a gun.
Sometimes. It's good to be strong and be able to run away.
Samurai sword.
If you do chase me, I'm not running away because I'm double hard. It's not because I can't run.
Oh, give us another.
But yeah, but I suppose we mostly do use the metric system apart from time and miles. Can you think of anything else?
Not
pints
yet.
Of beer.
Ooh, oh yeah, pints. Yeah,
I've said that a few times.
Sorry. Yeah.
A pint. Oh yeah. Oh, we said that.
But in the cans, in cans, it's millilitres. So,
yeah. But when you go to a pub, you ask for a pint of beer, but you get a short in 25 or
that'd
50
be mils. Yeah, yeah. So it's a mix. Yeah, weird mixture, isn't it? But so, but mostly we've decimalised, haven't we?
Oh, give us another.
And
cocks,
did you know what
cocks and feet?
About?
Cocks and feet.
I've probably told you about this before, but it doesn't matter. This will be new to everyone. Do you know where in France they've got the original kilogram weight? That's where they first decided what a kilogram was.
They've got it in a museum, haven't they?
Yeah, yeah. But it's slowly slowly over time. It's been there so long. It's actually getting lighter. So it's not actually a kilogram anymore.
We nearly spoke about this the other day.
Give us another.
Do you remember I said the Earth's speeding up? A few weeks ago, the Earth's speeding up, and they had to have a leap second every few years to catch up in time.
Right.
But it turns out now, every year, they have to take a second off.
Ooh.
So we're getting faster, babes.
Ooh, if you believe another.
If you believe that globe.
have you got another?
I saw this week that Liz Truss is making a comeback because
give us some politics.
Liz Truss is making a comeback because she's written a book about she's the only conservative in the room, and I've immediately thought, if you're the only conservative in a room, that shows how unpopular you are. But Liz Truss reminds me of the kid in Nightmare that wore the helmet. You know, where am I? Where am I?
Yeah.
Careful, team. Let us begin.
And Boris is a cunt leading down a hole.
Fucking Mark Whiteley's not Prime Minister anymore.
Yeah, fucking Boris. I don't really know politics. Is Boris, is he still in power?
I don't know. Oh, I was going to say, maybe we need to lift the spirits with a bit.
Oh, right.
Okay. Earlier. Right, so I'm going to say two words to Johnny and two words to Greg. You each get a minute. You'll probably need a minute to reply. And I want you to give me... One of you to give me positive feedback and one of you to give me negative feedback. Who wants to give me the positive feedback?
I don't mind. I do positive.
Right, and Greg, you do negative.
Positive guy. He's a
we'll start with positive first. Here are my two words. We're in a cafe. Begin scene. I'm pregnant.
Oh, that's amazing.
I know. Thank you.
Oh, you look radiant.
I do. Thank you. You know how long I've been trying.
Oh, you have been trying. And I just think it's wonderful. How long has it been?
Well, we started IVF about 4 years ago.
Oh, really?
This is my second cycle.
Oh, bless you. You look radiant. You're glowing.
Thank you.
Have you done a home test or have you been to see the doc?
Oh, do you have to test? I just thought you said it and it happened. Okay, that's the end of that Johnny's one. Right, a bit weird.
You've seen the doc?
Let's do Greg's one. You'll be negative then. Here we go. I'm pregnant.
Ooh.
What do you mean?
You sure?
Yeah, I've tested. I did the test last night in the toilet.
No, but I mean,
lines,
are you sure
I'm
about,
pregnant?
You know, going ahead with it?
You know I've always wanted a baby.
Yeah, in this day, I mean, in the world now, you know.
We'll be fine, children of the future.
Oh, God, no, you can't have a kid now. The world's overpopulated. And
okay, you talked me into it. I'm getting rid of it.
Yeah, that's probably for the best.
Right, what are you drinking?
The problem with people like you is... We'd all be speaking Bloody Dragon if it wasn't for St. George.
I want to chuck in a few recommendations of stuff I've seen this week. So the first thing I watched was Spoon 2, the sequel to Spoon. It's about a film about a man who spoons. It's pretty good. What platform's
that on? About a man that spoons.
Yeah, he spoons people.
Another human being or plays the spoons?
Well, no, he spoons and plays the spoons.
Really?
I watched Space Busters.
That's what's called Spoons 2. It's T-O-O.
I want to know more about this. Sorry,
yeah,
Barry.
Spoons 2.
Sorry, you're not getting away with this, Barry.
You know, like 2 as well.
Because I haven't watched this as well, so I can't jump in and explain a little bit more like I normally do. So I want to know more about this.
Okay, it's about a man who plays the spoons and he meets a girl, he falls in love. And
I don't
want to
know. No, I don't want to know.
Then they start spooning.
I don't want to know the whole story. I don't want to know the whole story. I want you to describe. I want you to describe the film without telling me the plot. See if you can manage that.
Well, you can't describe a film without telling you a plot.
Of course you can. Science fiction.
You describe me a film without telling me the plot.
You can tell me what kind of film it is. For example, whether it's a drama, whether it's a comedy.
Yeah, it's a drama comedy.
There's loads of things you can say about a film.
It's a thriller comedy drama.
Without just going, and the man meets
a
woman.
I've told you, thriller
and
comedy
and
drama.
Meets, like,
so it's a dramedy.
Like, it's quite funny with what you did last week with the Liz Hurley one. It doesn't matter. That's kind of funny telling the whole
plot
of that.
That's Spoons 1.
But that's what you do with every time you review something. Your idea of review is telling the plot. It's not you need to say
synopsis of what it's about.
What other films could you compare it to? What sort of
that's a synopsis
the tone
of, what it's
of
about.
The film.
Well, it's a synopsis, isn't it, of what the film's about?
You can do a quick synopsis. Yeah,
so
but not
a quick
the whole
synopsis.
Plot.
Spoons 1.
Hey,
man plays spoons.
What's the
man
genre?
Meets woman. Man's food. Love. Drama.
The genre is thriller.
Genres,
drama.
Comedy.
Thriller. Dramedy.
Drama. Comedy. Dramedy. Yeah.
Thriller. Dramedy.
A dramedy.
Thriller. Dramedy. Two.
Who's
killed,
in it? Who directed
it? Revenge.
Who stars in it? Who directed it?
The Big Spoon and Little Spoon.
It's a lot of unknown
what's the
actors
music
in
like?
It. The person who directed it was Jimmy Nolan, Christopher Nolan's cousin.
Oh God!
Is it a sequel to Button
got
Moon?
Yeah, I'm joking.
Sorry, I apologise for Barry.
I also watched
look the film up and you can find
I also
out
watched
it.
Space Busters. It's about busting ghosts in space. It's a sequel to Ghostbusters, but they go into space and bust ghosts. That's pretty cool.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah.
A lot of action, a lot of good CGI, a lot of special effects. Bill Zenkman's in it. Do you know Bill Zenkman?
No.
He's like a sort of like a Bill Murray, Peter Zenkman crossover.
Yeah.
Zenkman.
I was going to say, yeah, that sounds a bit like, yeah.
Dan Joyride.
Okay, yeah.
We can put links into this
and
in
Carl
the description. Carl Weatherspoons.
I mean, we should make
so
this.
So, did anyone see Milton Keynes on EastEnders this week? Oh shit! Wait a minute,
that was ages ago.
Right. Okay.
Oh, what's her name got raped on EastEnders tonight by the vicar? It was actually quite disturbing. I didn't like it.
Right, by the vicar. Oh God.
It's something I've been wanting to talk about for a long... Actually, let me do some more recommendations quickly. We watched a film called Apollo 10 and a Half.
Yep, that's really good.
By Richard Linklater. That's
Linklater.
A real film, that's not
Richard
a joke.
Richard Linklater.
And it's about memories of being a child during the Apollo missions. It's all animated. It's a cracking film.
It's all done in like rotoscope.
Very good.
It's like rotoscope, like you did Waking Life and Scanner Darkly.
Did either of you watch the Barry White concert?
No.
Not yet. I am going to watch it. I'm watching it on Friday afternoon with the old folks.
But what? Yeah, that would be good. They'll love that. One recommendation is there's a new Nas album out called Magic 3, and he's another one with Hit-Boy. He's done 3 Magic albums with Hit-Boy, and he's also done 3 King's Disease albums with Hit-Boy, and they get better and better because there was a time when people were saying Jay-Z was the new, like... not King of Hip Hop or King of New York, but the fact that he'd had a better career album-wise. But these new albums are really, really good listen. Obviously, you can just listen to them on Spotify and it's well worth
what's the album called again?
Magic 3 is the
Magic
latest one.
Magic 3, okay.
I'll say a bit more about that film at the end and then I'll edit it.
Yeah, I'll give you the other films
I'll
as
edit
well,
it
then.
In.
That's fine, you can do it. You can do it for these two as well. Do it for these as well, Greg. We also watched a film called Hundreds of Beavers. I can recommend that. It's like a silent film. The guy's got another one. If you look that up, you'll like
that. Hundreds of Beavers.
No one you'll know. That is actually a real film. That's not a stupid little joke.
Never complain,
and
never explain.
We watched The Riddle of Fire.
Again, I'll explain a bit more about that at the end and maybe edit that in or just explain
it. I think Future Greg at the end has really grown into itself. I could listen to that.
Forever.
I could listen to that.
I actually listened to it. Yeah.
And we watched a film called Riddle of Fire, and I watched Almost Famous because I'd never seen Almost Famous, which is quite good, the extended cut.
Because some people say the new listeners from the Only Made in Aylesbury and that may think that we're just mockers.
Yeah.
So it's good that Future Greg describes all the facts at the end.
Yeah.
And if you're a fact man.
Yeah.
Or woman, or lady, or them there, then you can get your facts.
Indeed. But yeah, there was quite a few films that I forgot about last week, but when I saw them, I was like, oh yeah, yeah. The, you know, all the double films that came out that are the same as, you know. same theme or whatever. There's quite a few of them.
Did you guys mention Fallout, the program, in one
of the
episodes?
All of them.
No. Yeah, yeah. But there's also, like, you could also mention that the fact that Fallout and Borderlands has come out at the same time. But I know Borderlands is a film, but it's still, yeah, still.
No, I started to watch the first episode of Fallout, and I thought it looked quite good. So I'm gonna.
Oh no,
watch
it is good. Yeah,
I've seen all of them apart from the last two.
Oh,
it's very good.
How many have we watched?
About six. Have we? Yeah, I think it was eight or seven.
Because I watched it on my own, and then I thought, oh, Maxine would probably like this, so I'll rewatch it, and then.
And we watched The Three Body Problem as well, and that was all right, actually. It started the first couple of episodes, it was like, weren't that into it, then it got going in the third episode, I think, and then, yeah. The fifth episode in particular, there's a standout scene, isn't there, at the beginning of it, but yeah, if you're into your sci-fi.
I just thought, one thing that didn't happen on the Only Made in Ellsbury page, which normally happens on pages, is people going, why are you hiding behind a fake account?
No.
It hasn't. I'm just waiting for that.
I need to join in the argument now as me. Just like, yeah, hello, God, and just play whatever. Yeah, just
no. It's not. I mean, I think it's tailing off now.
Oh no, I'll come in. I'll come in obviously on your side and just be like, hey, leave this.
No, it hasn't happened because I do. I've got another page where I'm awful, and then people always go, right wingers go, you're hiding behind a fake account, and I go, oh, bless you. You need to learn what a Facebook page is. Because I only made other pages to stop annoying everyone on my own Facebook account, and then I just annoy you lot by sending you loads and loads of screenshots.
Yeah, I don't mind. I get the highlights.
Superdry aren't doing very well, are they now? Superdry? They're becoming... Remember, like, Joe Blogs disappeared? I think Superdry is slowly becoming the Joe
Spliffy's
Blogs
back.
Now.
Yeah, because they are sort of like that. They're sort of naff, aren't they? When it first came out, I thought... I think I did buy a couple of things of Superdry, but in the early... Late 2010s.
I was talking to someone in the
GARMS
business actually early before I drove over here, and he was talking about someone who's in the industry, and he said they admitted they just copied designs off of everyone else, and I went, what, like Superdry? Because that's what they did. They just copied old Ralph Lauren stuff and other vintage stuff and just put Japanese writing on it.
Yeah.
Oh, good for them. It's like, who wants? Do you want to be cool or do you want to be rich?
It was cool for a second and then suddenly became not cool, and...
It was never cool, I don't think. People were parading around Carnaby Street let's make a new scene.
Not quite, but there was a point where I thought it was okay, I didn't mind wearing it, and now I'm like, I would never buy anything Superdry.
I think the expensive
you
stuff.
You buy Bench.
That. Yeah, no, yeah. Yeah, like a bit like
it's actually
Bench.
It's actually well made.
I don't think Bench
just...
went quite as that. But again, anything that Sports Direct ended up taking over and selling, sort of that was its the death
sports,
of it.
I bought a couple
like
of pairs
Pierre
of Jordans
Cardin
from Sports Direct
like
back in the day.
Like Pierre Cardin, I'm sure that was like a kind of like a brand.
Yeah,
before,
all the brands go around.
Sports Direct, Kangol as well, I suppose.
Yeah, but they're all owned. If you look now, who they're owned by? They're all owned by massive
Direct.
Kangol are, but like everyone, a lot of big brands are owned by big conglomerates. And that's why you see Louis Vuitton and Supreme or this and that, because they're all owned by the same people. Well, what's the time? All right, and that's it.
Okay, well, here's my final big question of the week then, before I say goodbye. And we see you for another week before we hear future Greg Sounds. Who here likes Cornish pasties?
Yeah, I do.
Greg?
No.
Okay, cool. Bye, everyone. See you next week.
Well, like St. George said, it's all Greek to me. That's been me, Johnny Ribena. Bye-bye.
I think I know what love is. I thank you guys for showing me. I'll be back as future Greg.
Shove, shove, shove. It's Greg from the future. Shove, shove, shove. He's back again. Shove, shove, shove. It's Greg from the future. Shove, shove, shove. He's your best friend.
Greetings, fellow time travellers, and a zhuv 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 to you all. Yes, it's Monday, the 22nd of April, 4:57 p.m. Interesting stuff. I think people like to know when exactly I'm coming from the future. But this time next week, I will be in Cyprus, sunny old Cyprus. I haven't been on a holiday somewhere warm in 7 years, or coming up to 7 years. I've been abroad. I've been to Glasgow and I've been to Amsterdam. You know, which did count. I got, you know, as breaks, got away as sort of COVID breaks or just after COVID breaks. But I've not been on a proper summer holiday. I mean, it's not summer yet, but, you know, spring, that sort of holiday, a warm holiday. So, then we might be doing... So the episode we record this week
there may be a gap sort of thing. There may be a 2 week gap is what I'm going to say. Unless I can teach the other two how to do an episode by themselves and put it out there. It wouldn't be that difficult for them to do, but I don't know. They don't really like the whole production side of things. Barry's my best bet. I'll see if I can convince him to still put an episode out of just them two. Or maybe I could phone in remote. If I can teach them how to use the computer, record the thing and put it out, then maybe we could keep the thing going. So yes, this is when not having a producer, is a problem. Because usually, if there's three people doing a podcast, it doesn't matter if one of them's not there, because the other two can just do it. And the producer will get it put out, or their team will get it put out. But I am the producer, I am the team, so... Yeah, we need some more teamwork going on. We need Barry and Johnny to pull their fingers out, I think, and to keep the machine going. There's not much to correct this week, I don't think. Oh, there probably is. Yeah, there's probably always loads to correct. It's more just adding more information, really. So I just wanted to give a rundown on some of those films that Barry mentioned. Just say a little bit more about them to possibly whet your appetite. But you may not even be interested in them anyway. But I quite enjoyed them, so I just wanted to say a bit more about them. But first, yeah, I just wanted to mention Tomia, or The Only Maid in Aylesbury, our YouTube show. The last one we did was 2018, not 2017. And when I mentioned microphones for filming, you're probably thinking, you've got microphones. We can hear you talking on them. What I mean is some sort of microphone to film on location. So if we're out and about filming somewhere. Because the sound quality was always terrible on most of the episodes, because we were just using the microphone that was on the cheap video camera that we were using to film ourselves. So we're looking at getting some of the DJI things I mentioned. They're little clip-on, remote clip-on mics we could hide on our collars somewhere, or somewhere anyway, that can pick up our voices. We need something like that, because otherwise, yeah, there's no point doing it, because I don't want to do anything with shit. Or now we've got used to recording things properly, you don't want to take a step back. So yeah, that's what I meant by that. Anyway, right, Apollo 10 and a half. We mentioned it briefly. We said, written and directed by Richard Linklater. 2022 film. I don't know why we've just become aware of it now, or whether it's been out for it, or if it's only just got released recently. But anyway, we watched it recently, and I really enjoyed it. I mentioned that it's done by rotoscope, and I didn't explain what that was. Rotoscope's a form of animation where you draw over live action. So you film some live action, you know, as you normally would in a normal movie, and then you animate over the top of that to give it he's done other films like this. So he did a film called Waking Life using the same style, and Scanner Darkly, which was a Philip K. Dick adaptation, one of Philip K. Dick's sci-fi novels, and it starred Keanu Reeves, Winona Ryder, lots of other people. Anyway, yeah, so that was a more well-known one that he did like that. Anyway, so he's done a few films like this with rotoscope, but he's used the same technique with this film, and it works really well, I think, in this with this story, because I say it's called Apollo 10 and a half, as you might imagine. It's also all to do with NASA in the late 60s. It's all about the events building up to the Apollo 11 launch from one family's point of view, basically. And I assume it's Richard Linklater drawing on his own childhood and his own experiences of the Apollo 11 space launch to tell the story. So I don't know whether the family in question is, so it's narrated by Jack Black. So I guess we'd be playing, sort of voicing Richard Linklater. So you've got Jack Black as an adult, obviously looking back, I think he's just meant to be Richard Linklater anyway, looking back at his childhood. So he's narrating the storytelling and describing the era, describing the time, etc. It's a bit like the Wonder Years sort of thing. So he's playing out his characters on screen and interacting with everyone else, but he's also narrating, but his older self is narrating it. You've seen it. You've seen the sort of thing done lots of times before, but it's done really well in this. I say, with the animation and everything, and because it's... Yeah, it's because of the nature of rotoscope. It's very realistic, but at the same time, because it's animated, there's a few liberties that can be taken creatively. Yeah, I mean, it's a love letter to the era, really. And it goes into great depth. I'd lived through the era after watching that. So down to the food they ate, specific foods they ate on different days, because they didn't have much money or whatever, working on a budget. The story is that the character, I don't know whether Richard Linklater's dad did actually work for NASA or whatever, because it all seems clearly based on his childhood. But the character in this, anyway, the young lad, his dad works for NASA, but not high up, but, you know, sort of an engineer somewhere or whatever, and is very involved in NASA. And they're all, you know, NASA kids, as it were, but there's about six kids in the family. But yeah, so it's a great it's sort of very evocative of the era, and yeah, and kind of so yeah, it's kind of interesting. Having not lived, obviously, I was born 10 years after they first landed on the moon, and so culturally, England's very is a little bit different to America. But it's quite interesting seeing the amount of TV programs they had in 69. I would imagine that we probably didn't have as many 10 years later in England when I was born. So yeah, it's a little bit of a history lesson there as well, a bit of a history lesson on that period of Americana. Yeah, as I say, you get a good breakdown of everything from the time, from pop culture stuff, from music, what was on TV, the movies, etc. As I say, down to the food that was being eaten at the time. So yeah, it's entertaining, but you learn stuff as well. And yeah, and then you really do feel like you may have, you know, you feel a part of it. You feel like you're growing up with these kids. And there's always there's just the normal relatable stuff going on within families that everyone can relate to anyway, regardless of where you are, what nationality you are, what cultures or whatever you come from. But yeah, the reason it's called Apollo 10 and a half is because there's two storylines. So you've got the story of the family, mainly told from the kids' point of view, who Jack Black's narrating as an adult version. I forget the kid's name, something Stanley or something, I don't know. Anyway, he's only about 13, 12, 13 or something. So whilst they're watching following the build-up to the Apollo 11 launch, the main character is imagining that he's actually going into space himself as well. And this sort of plays out quite realistically as well. So you see him going into NASA and training and everything. This is all obviously bollocks. Well, I mean, who knows? Well, maybe it's not. Maybe it wasn't real. I did get a bit confused when I was watching it. I was like, hang on, did they actually train a kid? Then I realised, oh no, he's just imagining that he's doing all the stuff that the astronauts are doing. So that's kind of cool as well. So you've got this sort of, you know, double narrative thing going on. So yeah, so it sort of flicks between that. It flicks between him actually watching it at home with his parents and then between this imaginary mission that he's doing himself, which is the 10 and a half of the title. But yes, I highly recommend that. If you like any of Richard Linklater's stuff, then you should definitely check it out. And even if you don't, you should go and check it out. So that's that one. The other films, I'm going to do my old tried and tested. I'm going to look up some reviews and then just read the ones out that I agree with, and then if I want to add anything else I can, because this is going to take too long otherwise. Hundreds of Beavers, we'll start with that one next. Right, we'll just go straight to Rotten Tomatoes on this. So Hundreds of Beavers, sustaining a zany premise with stylistic bravura and inspired gags, Hundreds of Beavers is a comedic gem that gives a damn, and I would agree with that. Ty Burr says, this is the best kind of silly made with craft, a bottomless well of inventiveness, and maybe a fair share of edibles. So yeah, the synopsis. A slapstick epic about a frostbitten battle between Gene Kayak and diabolical beavers, hundreds of them, who stand between him and survival. The Gene Kayak is actually one of the writers. So it was directed by Mike Cheslick. On a budget, I mean, it was made for $150,000, and it made back $230,000, but it should have made more because it's really good. Judging it by its cover, I mean, yes, if you just looked at the synopsis quickly and just noticed it was silent, that might put you off, and you'd be like, oh, okay, well, and I say, when I say silent, obviously it's not completely silent. But there's no dialogue, no proper dialogue in it. So yeah, directed by Mike Cheslick. And written by him as well, but also written by Ryland Brixen Cole Chews, who stars. He's the one who stars as Gene Kayak, and is quite good at doing lots of mugging and slapstick stuff, physical comedy. Because as I say, there's no dialogue, so it's very reliant on that, and lots of funny sound effects. It's kind of weird. It's shot in black and white as well, which I think helps because a lot of everything's played out. It's him trying to trap animals, etc. But all the animals are played by humans with big, basically dressed up like football mascots, you know, with the big hats on, big heads on, etc. So, but then lots of stuff's played out. Really, you know, there's lots of gore and stuff in it, but it's done in such a cartoony way that you know it's kind of harmless. But there's lots of it's hard to describe, really. It's kind of like, the look of it, it looks a bit like Sin City at times, because there's lots of sort of superimposed comic-style slapstick things. It's a bit like a mixture of Sin City and the Monty Python animations, sort of mixed together in the way it looks. So you've got all the slapstick sort of humour and an animation of Monty Python, but the way it kind of, some scenes look as the real life stuff mixed in with what kind of looks like, a comic book background. Yeah, sort of gives it that sort of Sin City look. But, oh God, it's boring. I said I was just going to read out the reviews. You'd do well to satisfy your craving for knockabout lunacy by checking out Hundreds of Beavers, as visionary as any indie in many a moon, and a damn sight more fun. Though many might write this off as stupid adolescent humour, you can't overlook the artistry and commitment that Cheslick used to craft this unique piece of comedy. It finds the funny bone over and over again. I have to agree with that. Full of so many wonderful moments that it almost becomes too much. The film could have probably been tightened about 15 minutes, with some gags running a tad too long, but it's hard to be upset with filmmakers willing to go that extra mile to entertain. That may be true, maybe could have been shaved down a little bit, but when the gags land, they really do land. There's one bit in particular, I mean, there's loads of laugh out loud bits, but there's a courtroom scene, I'd say that towards the end, which I was crying at. So yeah, it's worth watching for that alone, but it's funny throughout. Director Mike Chislick and co-writer and star Ryland Bricks and Cole Chews, that's a fucking name, isn't it? Ryland Bricks and Cole Chews adhere to one of Mel Brooks' biggest rules of comedy. Keep the gags coming at such a fast and furious rate that there's always something for everybody to be amused by. Cleverly bonkers, highly original, and one of the finest films of the year. Cheslick and crew leave no stone unturned in their hunt for laughter, and while Gene catches hundreds of beavers, Hundreds of Beavers itself catches thousands of laughs. As I say, these are all positives. This is on Rotten Tomatoes. Every single one's a tomato. Oh no, hang on, wait a minute. Here's some dickheads. Andy Klein. These jokes just fall flat and it keeps going on and on. He has no sense of humour. Andy Klein, go fuck himself. Wade Major. This could have been a charming 10-minute short, but 105 minutes, it makes you homicidal. That's a bit much. As I just said, it could have been maybe 10 minutes, 10, 15 minutes shorter, but that guy's full of shit as well. Wade Major, go fuck yourself. Back to one more good one. Delivers exactly the kind of manic cartoon hijinks that the title promises. There you go. Say no more. Actually, one more. In an era where the modern blockbuster costs upwards of $200 million, it's refreshing that the ultra-low-budget Hundreds of Beavers, a wild irreverence and independently produced comedy, puts most of those movies to shame. Absolutely. Well done, Nate Adams. And maybe just one more. Hundreds of Beavers is one of the most endearingly original comedies to come down the pipe in some time, and in its own way, one of the most ambitious. So there you go. Hopefully that's made you interested in Hundreds of Beavers. If you're up for something comical, and it's something you can watch with kids as well. There's no, they might not get some of the gags. It might be the odd gag they might not get, but it's kind of harmless. Yeah, as I said, even with the violence, it's done in such a cartoony way with silly props and stuff that it's not really violent. And when I say violence, I mean just trapping beavers. I don't think there's any human on human violence, but yeah. It's, as I say, it's all very slapstick and cartoony. Right, one more, Riddle of Fire. Right, Riddle of Fire, I'm going to be quick with this one because I'm taking far too long. I'm not going to read out any Rotten Tomatoes stuff. You can look up Rotten Tomatoes reviews yourself. I don't know, I just find it fun reading them out, I guess. Riddle of Fire, the synopsis, not the whole plot, like Barry likes to do, just the synopsis. Three mischievous children embark on a woodland odyssey when their mother sends them on an errand. It's not quite a woodland odyssey. It's sort of like, it's like a North American odyssey. It's not just woodland. It's sort of just land in general. It's set in, I'm not sure exactly where it's set. It looked like it was set in Canada, but I think it's either meant to be Canada or so. It's somewhere north of North America. Because there seems to be those sorts of trees around, big trees, cedars, stuff like that. And anyway, the kids have got loads of room to ride around in. And they all ride around. The kids in the film are like, I think they're aged from about 7, 7 to 12 or something like that. But anyway, they're all riding around on scrambler motorbikes with paintball guns. It's awesome. I mean, I haven't got a scrambler motorbike or a paintball gun. So say the kids in this film have got more stuff than I have now, let alone when I was a kid. And they're sort of, and they're like 80s kids, really. It's kind of a throwback thing. I think the writer-director, I think, is an 80s kid. Yeah, it was written and directed by Weston Rizzulli. And he also stars in it as Marty Hollyhock, one of the members of a gang in it. Anyway, but yeah, the plot is absolutely wackadoodle. It's crazy. I'm gonna do the lazy thing when, you know, when someone says, oh, it's like something mixed with something, or like something on a certain drug, you know, like, oh, it's like that on speed, or it's like that on acid. Well, I'm gonna say it's like the Goonies on ketamine. I'm not gonna say acid because everyone always says acid, but along them lines, you know, something psychedelic, or yeah, something that fucks with your head. It's like Goonies being, it's like everyone from the Goonies got hit round the head. that's a bit unfair because that makes it sound like more simple. It's actually more crazy, more zany, and more inventive in a lot of ways than the Goonies. It's good fun. I say the act, it's low budget, but there's some surprise. It's a really weird mixture of sort of bad acting, and there's the occasional good bit of acting. But it's very watchable all the way through. One of the kids in it. There's two kids that are siblings. There's the mum they go on an errand for. She's mother to two boys, as far as I can tell, two sons. And then there's a girl who's their friend who comes around their house all the time, and, you know, so the mum knows her as well. But anyway, and she sends them off to get an egg. I won't say more than that. It's hilarious what the egg's actually needed for. But that's what the whole story is based around. But the younger son, for some reason, so the older son is just speaking normal English, doesn't have subtitles or anything. But for some weird reason, the younger son, and I thought, is this down because he's like Canadian-American, or he's like, is he speaking French or something? But no, he just talks funny, but there's no explanation for it. But he's got subtitles. There's no explanation for why he talks funny or has subtitles. But you can understand what he's saying most of the time. But it's like he's speaking in this weird sort of like Creole or something, weird, strange accent compared to everyone else in the film. But he's very funny anyway. And he says things like, hey, don't do me like that, playboy. He keeps calling people playboy, which is funny. A young kid calling adult men playboy, going, hey, don't do me like that, playboy. So that's hilarious in itself, just a young kid going around calling people playboy. So yeah, it's worth watching for that. Kids on scramblers, paintballs, old school throwback kids as well, not these namby-pamby modern day kids where they'd all be, you know, locked up away from paedophiles. They were just allowed to, you know, when you got a scrambler bike, I suppose you'd have to be worried about paedophiles. You can just scramble away. Oh yeah, and a paintball gun. You can just shoot the paedophile in the face with a paintball gun and scramble off. Yeah, I mean, all kids should have scramblers and paintball guns. Then pedos wouldn't be a problem. But yeah, so that's all I'll say on that one. And that's taken us well over the time, or well over, I should be, too long for me. So I think that'll do. Toodaloo. Skip doo da doo 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 da da. Skip doo da doo 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 da da. Skip da doo 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 da da. Skip da 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 doo 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 da. Everyone in the world has got a podcast. We started one just to make our friends laugh. I often wonder if we're on the right path. Now there's so many, it all seems a bit daft. Got a big neck, get yourself a big scarf. Your podcast stinks, go run yourself a big bath. We put this out just to make our friends laugh. Now everyone in the world has got a podcast. Everyone in the world has got a podcast. We started one just to make our friends laugh. I often wonder if we're on the right path. Now there's so many, it all seems a bit daft. Got a big neck, get yourself a big scarf. Your podcast stinks, go run yourself a big bath. We put this out just to make our friends laugh. Now everyone in the world has got a podcast.
This is the best episode ever.
Ever. Ever. Ever. Ever. Ever. Ever.